the great multitude in white robes. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in the front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory, and wisdom and thanks and honor, and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I've got some good news and I've got some bad news this morning. And the bad news is that this whole term's teaching has been based on a false premise. This book, The Rest of God. You see, the experience of true Sabbath is out of reach on this earth. I guess I may need to qualify that, as we've been focusing for the last 6 or 7 weeks on this. But let's pray before we get into this. Lord, thank you for this morning, this opportunity to worship together, for that time of worship and adoration we've just experienced, drawing near to you, near to your throne. And now we do pray, Lord God, that you would speak afresh to us as your word comes to life. Amen. Do you actually ever feel truly rested and spiritually refreshed? And if so, how long does that last for? A few hours? A few days? Possibly a few weeks or even a month or so? The fact is that rest and Sabbath rest is only ever a part of our experience. The feeling of being totally refreshed and energized is only an occasional reality. Now, we've been exploring the concept of Sabbath over these last few weeks from a whole variety of angles. We thought about Sabbath as a time to play and a time to pray. We've considered Sabbath as a great celebration of God's faithfulness and provision, a place where we rest from our labor, where we look back at what's gone before and look forward to all that God has in store for us in the week ahead, a place where our batteries are recharged and our spirit is fed, an act of obedience to God in his creation ordinances, 6 days shalt thou labor. We've considered time as a gift. We thought of Kairos time, precious time, not time that owns us and drives us. But the reality is that earthly Sabbath only brings us a temporary respite. And in that sense, it's never totally satisfying and fulfilling. Some of you will know that later on this year that I've got the privilege of taking something called a sabbatical. It means I've got 3 months from August to October, free of responsibility within the parish. It'll be a period, I trust, of refreshment and renewal, of reading, of being fed by training events, conferences, retreats, family celebrations, holiday, visiting old friends, reflecting, 5 days walking in the Sierra Nevada mountains in southern Spain with a good friend. Are you jealous yet? I'd better stop. 3 months of Sabbath, and it starts with a trip to Tanzania, where mine and others' eyes will be open to God's work in the wider world. Now, after those 3 months, I would hope that I would return refreshed, re-energized, rested, raring to go. But how long will that last? Because on my return, the demands, the work pressures, home pressures, things around us will crowd in. And it will be a real challenge, won't it, to retain that sense of renewal and refreshment. Because Sabbath rest, isn't forever on this earth. If your Sabbath is a Sunday, then Monday naturally follows. There are jobs to do. There are tasks to accomplish. There are bills to pay. And then, of course, stuff just happens to take away any sense of rest. Maybe we make poor decisions. Maybe we're victims of circumstances. Maybe we are some of those people who are reaching out to Aquila or the Willow Tree Centre or other similar agencies for help. Sometimes life can be hard. Sometimes life can be a struggle. And rest seems out of reach. However much rest we get, there's a sense in which we're still restless for more. Because we live in this time which is in the now and the not yet of God's kingdom. Christ's victory over sin and evil is won on the cross. We'll be celebrating that big time next Sunday. But ultimately, the full consummation and fulfillment is to come. And while we wait, our experience of Sabbath and God's perfect rest is somewhat flawed. Well, that's the bad news out of the way, by the way. But now the good news. Our experience of Sabbath rest in this life is an anticipation of the rest to come. You see, it's a glimpse of forever. I want you to use your imagination just for a moment and pick just one element of what Sabbath rest means to you. Just picture it in your minds as we've considered over these past few weeks, what Sabbath rest might look like. Maybe it's the image of a service of worship, the church packed to the rafters, people of all ages raising their voices in praise and adoration to the living God. Maybe you can picture yourselves in the arms of a loved one, in a favourite spot in the country, feeling totally secure, not a care in the world, free from the pressures and challenges and demands of life. Maybe you can picture the sun beating down on a hot summer day, the village green atmosphere, bat in hand, caressing a ball to the boundary, seeing your side to victory. Well, that's only me and Dave, but there may be other things for you. Maybe it's walking across a Welsh hillside on a late summer evening with closest friends, sharing stories of God at work and enjoying the beauty of his creation. Or perhaps it's feasting with friends to celebrate a special birthday with a log fire crackling in the background. All of these things, in different ways, express something of Sabbath rest. And yet, how much more special will be the Sabbath rest we experience in heaven? The rest we've all been imagining is time-bound, perhaps a few minutes, few hours, few days. Afterwards, we're drawn back to the challenges and pressures of the everyday. But as we look towards heaven, we think of rest in terms of forever. The writer to the Hebrews speaks of a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And then we've just had shared with us that wonderful picture from Revelation chapter 7 of God's people having entered that rest, mixing it with the angels and offering their heartfelt worship to God. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honour and power and strength be to our God for ever and ever. Amen. A picture of God's people lost in wonder, love and praise. And the great promise that there's the Lamb at the centre of the throne, Jesus himself, the one who will be their shepherd, our shepherd, who will lead us to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And there you get the concept of Sabbath rest taken to a completely new level. It's no longer something that's temporary, but it's permanent. Later on in Revelation, we're reminded that one day there'll be no more sickness, no more suffering, no more tears, no more death. Can't wait. But we have to wait, and we're called to work out what Sabbath looks like in the here and now. And it's a way of being that we ignore at our peril. And so we're called to prioritize it with a passion. We're called to model it to our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. We encourage one another to embrace Sabbath in its many dimensions, because it reflects God's plans and purposes for his people, for his people in the here and now, as well as in the life to come. And ultimately, Sabbath is good for us. It helps us see God as he really is. It prevents us from getting ahead of ourselves and thinking that we have all the answers. And whilst our experience of it may fall short of perfection, through it we gain a glimpse of what is to come. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Just want to finish with a quote from Mark Buchanan at the very end of his book. And by the way, we've got three copies of this book floating around in the parish. So if you haven't read it, but just want to explore this whole theme of Sabbath some more, then do grab me after the service and you can take one away with you. But he finishes his book like this. A well-kept Sabbath is a dress rehearsal for things above. In finding the rest of God now, we prepare for the fullness of God one day. In Sabbath, we anticipate forever. That's certainly something to look forward to, isn't it? Amen.